you can accept that your practice has become a training office for the surrounding practices. Or in other words, everybody's going to just pass through your office. Or you can lower your standards, not in terms of employee quality, but in terms of your training and experience requirements. That is to say that you'll advertise for untrained, inexperienced workers. That doesn't mean that you have to hire negative people with no work ethic. It just means that you're going to have to accept that if you're going to have superstar employees on board, you're going to have to build them yourself. The key here is that when they do start to show promise, you have to step up to the plate and begin paying them what they're worth. In other words, when one of your homegrown superstars looks fully trained, you're going to have to pay her better, even though you've already gone through the trouble of training her. This is where even our best doctors slip up. They think because they captured, tamed, and raised this wolf that it'll never bite them. They're wrong. So where does the Whitehall bonus fit into all this? From the standpoint of hiring, it doesn't fit in at all. You cannot entice a good employee to come to work for you on the promise of production-based bonuses. Let's face it, you're going to struggle to get your existing employees to respond to the promise of performance-based compensation. The bonus is used to keep good employees, not to attract them. Like I said, your existing employees hardly believe in it. A new person doesn't believe in it at all. I'll be talking about bonus more in a moment. Let's look at the second reason that we lose the wrong people: benefits. In some areas of the country, and among older employees, the benefit package offered by the employer can make the difference in employee retention and literally represent market share. The problem with offering benefits is that you can quickly up your overhead with absolutely no tangible benefit to the practice. If you decide today to begin offering health insurance for employees, and you have 8 staff who qualify, you're going to need to increase your monthly gross net by around $4,000 a month just to offset the cost. That means you'd have to collect around $8,000 in a practice with a 50% overhead to net $4,000 so you could pay that bill. The same goes for retirement benefits. This is one that's not only proved not to motivate employees, but seldom ends up being the real retirement benefit it's supposed to be. This is because most employees only stay on the job 3 or 4 years. When they quit, many of them just take their retirement benefits and spend it on day-to-day purchases when they quit. If your practice is grossing and netting enough to fulfill your personal needs, and you want to provide these expensive benefits for your staff, then by all means do so. If you practice in an area where you have to provide these packages just to get inexperienced staff to apply, well, then you have no alternative. But if you feel like you want to hold on to 1 or 2 exceptionally productive employees, I would suggest that when you are approached by them to provide benefits, have them secure these benefits privately and give them additional compensation so they can afford those programs. No, they can't set up a qualified pension plan. But they can open their own IRA account if they want to save tax deferred for retirement. And they can purchase their own health plan from Blue Cross or someone else, and you can pay them enough so that they can afford that coverage. This keeps you from having to establish these heavily regulated plans that can be cost prohibitive for smaller practices. The third reason we lose good employees has to do with hours. In my mind, long hours are right behind money for the reasons that we lose our best workers. It doesn't matter how long you schedule patients. It's how long your employees are expected to man their positions. You might schedule your last patient at 4:30, but if your employees are routinely there till 6:45 or 7:30, you've got a problem. And on this point, you don't need to check around or look on the internet. I can answer this one for you with pinpoint accuracy. When you ask employees to stay past 6:30 in the evening, you're going to lose the best employees you have, and you're going to lose them first. Remember, the better the worker, the more employment options they have. It's the marginally employable whose fingers you have to pry off the desk when you fire them. There's a natural conflict between consumerism and what I call staffism. Staffism refers to the ideal workplace as defined by the employee. Staffism dictates that a clinic open at 10 in the morning and close by 3 p.m. Patients, on the other hand, consumerism, prefer 6 in the morning till 8:30 in the evening. I've watched doctors attempt to solve this conflict between staffism and consumerism by having staff work 2 shifts. They'll have some start early and others start late. It's a great idea, except that it leaves the doctor understaffed during the peak early hours as well as the peak afternoon rush hours. When you need the most employees during the day, you have only half the team on board. It's better to just choose your peak hours, early or late, and then staff for growth.